This week on Out Now with Aaron and Abe, we are talking The Long Walk.
I'm ready to have the long talk.
And it'll take some sap. We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, hello! How are you, Jordan?
I'm so good. How are you?
How are you, Aaron?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for asking.
And this is Out Now.
Out Now is a film podcast where Aaron and I discuss new movies weekly. We dig into the film being most important for your review, the occasional commentary track, or some other the movie topic. This is episode 637.
637?
637.
Where? Pennsylvania. Thank
Pennsylvania.
You. Yeah.
Right. Good.
And this
I couldn't
is
pronounce
Out
the city name. Kaborka? Kaborka? And surrounding cities, Pennsylvania. There you
Kaborkian.
Go.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And for 6:37, we're talking The Long Walk, the adaptation of the Stephen King novel. And joining us to discuss The Long Walk, we have Ryan for Why So Blue, convinced he would do better on this walk than all those kids wearing nothing but slides. It's Jordan Grout.
I won the walk. I won all the
I
money.
Believe it.
And this is Out Now.
This is a real throwback episode. The first time you were on this show was when I was actually staying at your house at the same time also.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we saw The Long Walk then.
We were reading
it's
passages
continuation.
Being like, this could be a good
yeah.
movie.
Yeah.
It's a 12-year continuation movie.
Yeah.
We finally finished the book last night.
Yeah, he pulled the Richard Linklater.
But we forgot how it began, so we had to go back to the beginning.
Oh, no, another 12
They start
years.
Walking. Oh, it should have been obvious.
No, he gets dropped off.
Page one.
Jordan, how are you doing?
I'm great. I took a long walk to get coffee.
You did. You did take
oh,
a long
nice.
Walk to get coffee.
Abe took a long nap.
I
Dreamt
did,
about
yeah.
Taking a long walk.
A little bit late to the show, but we made it. I'd also like to add that for the listeners, Aaron and Jordan, same room.
Same room.
I feel like I
Same
said.
Couch.
I like
The
I said.
energy is unmatched.
Same couch. All right. Let's get into some things.
Same shirt.
They're wearing the same shirt.
We're not wearing the same shirt.
It's like the
same pants.
The Matt Damon movie with what's his face doing the burger flipping.
Stuck what? On you.
Stuck on you.
Yeah. You. There's so many ways you could have described Matt Damon in that one movie,
where he
and
flips
not saying where
burgers.
He's like a conjoined twin, or where he's with the other actor in the movie, and say, you know, Matt Damon, that movie where he's doing the
you know,
burger
I
flipping.
don't, yeah, I don't see conjoined twinism. You know, I see them as people, Aaron. So,
just to narrow it down, though, it's not
yeah.
where Matt Damon does the burger flipping. You know,
we're in the
what was that
22nd
other Matt
century.
Damon movie where he goes on a date?
51st
It
Dates.
also has Jack Nicholson and DiCaprio. He goes on a date in that movie.
Yeah, The Departed.
Yeah.
That's the date.
Goes
yeah.
On
don't worry, don't worry. That movie. He moves to that new apartment.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
With
the nice ladies with the dogs.
The one where he takes that big elevator ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Starts crying.
I fell asleep before that part.
It's yeah. It's such a moving elevator ride. He starts crying.
Let's get to some show notes.
Oh, okay. All right. I guess you want to do a movie podcast.
I love that this serious movie is getting off to a real goofy step.
It's kind of a goofy movie.
Let's go to some show notes. We have a new commentary track for the month, Devil in a Blue Dress. We recorded it this past week. It should go up very soon, so stay tuned for that. A lot of fun talking about Devil in a Blue Dress. What else? New, spent another bonus episode. I talked to director Stephen C. Miller about the film Under Fire and just his career as an action director. That's up now. You can find that on our... everywhere you can find our podcast. Speaking of which, iTunes reviews, ratings, of course. Good to get those. Helps out the show. You can find all of our regular and bonus episodes if you go to iTunes or Spotify. Leave us a rating or review also. It'd be great.
Thank you so much in advance.
We're also coming up on October. Of course, we do our horror specials. We got some plans in mind and some others that we're formulating. We do know that Day of the Dead is going to be our commentary for the next month, so keep that in mind.
It's playing at Vidiots on Friday.
It is playing at Vidiots, and it's 4K debut.
Ooh.
But yeah, we'll be celebrating its 30th anniversary in October. What else? Okay, so
this is Out Now.
Thank you for the reminder. I was able to visit the Academy Museum this week because there's a new Jaws exhibit. Literally just opened. As in, like, it opens today, actually, but I'm a member at the Academy Museum, so I got to go early.
Ooh.
It's
how much is the membership?
Membership is, I think, like $100.
That's not
Not
bad.
bad. It's not bad. You get free museum whenever you want to, and you get discounts on screenings and the gift shop and everything. So,
Wow.
I mean, it's for the amount of times I've used it, it's already paid for itself. But yeah,
Wow.
there's a new Jaws exhibit. It's on the fourth floor at the Academy Museum. There's like five floors total. It is great. Even as like as a fan, as a, you know, a person that considers Jaws to be like a favorite movie, like by default saying that's just my favorite movie, I know a lot about Jaws already. And yet the exhibit, while not necessarily presenting me with anything like new, it's just really well done. It's well put together as far as being a nice complete story of how they made Jaws, the impact it's had, and so many little bits of trivia and details about the production and what have you. And so it's full of a mix of like there's concept art and props and recreations of certain props, like the jaw, like Bruce the mechanical shark. There's a lot of very interactive things. Like, for example, on that shark, they have it set up where you can like pull a bunch of levers to like maneuver it the way they're maneuvering it when they're making the actual movie. There's a dolly zoom rig, so you can kind of set yourself up, and the if you like put your phone in, you put like a you hit like a QR thing, it'll like go to a museum page that sets it up so you can do like the dolly zoom gag that
Oh,
Apple
nice. It was
like
on your own
standards.
phone.
Yeah, on your own phone, it's pretty cool. They got all these little photo spots so you can like recreate certain shots from Jaws. It's really well done. Like I was very impressed. Like I wasn't expecting it not to be impressive in its own way, but like it's really cool to just see it in action and see the work that went into being like, let's celebrate, you know, one of these landmark films in the best way we can.
How long would it take you to experience the whole thing, start to finish? 40 minutes?
I was in there for like an hour and change.
Okay, that's great.
And not because I was just like luxuriating in it. I was taking my time just reading all the little things and going through all the stuff that they had there. So like it'll take you it's a good amount of time to go if you want to like see every single thing in the exhibit. It'll do you well. So
How do you compare it to the Universal Studios tram ride?
like just the Jaws section of the tram ride or just or the
Well, not the Fast and Furious. Yes, just the Jaws section.
I mean, like the Jaws section is fun. Like it's just, you know, it's a gag, but it's like you get to see the shark pop out of the water and everything,
I know, it's pretty
and
unbeatable.
there's fire and all
It gets
that.
me every time.
I do like that when you enter it, it says like it's the Amityville or Amityville, it's the Amityville horror. It's the
Hate
Amity
camera.
Island sign that's like regular, and then when you're leaving it, it's like the other like the graffitied sign that's just like help shark and all that.
It's the best part of the whole studios.
And the museum has it too. They have the Amity Island signs in both forms, the regular and graffitied form.
Nice.
So yeah, very cool times. If you're in
Great.
the LA area or visiting or what have you, and you want to check out the Academy Museum, the Jaws exhibit, certainly worthwhile. So there you go. All right, let's move into my no quickies.
Trade right.
You should not know one movie though to talk about no quickies.
DM.
Pretty good. Happy with that. Jordan, what have you been watching recently?
What have a Peacemaker. That's
Peacemaker.
about
Okay.
it. It's fun. I like it. I like it. I don't really think about where it's gonna go. I'm just enjoying the ride. There's what, four episodes left by the time it's
You're
recorded?
like halfway through, yeah. You've been keeping up with Alien.
I'm not crazy about that show
Alien
though.
Earth.
I'm kind of bored by it. I know people are loving it and I couldn't be happier for them. I haven't seen this week's episode of Alien just because I don't care. What did we watch yesterday? We watched besides Long Walk. Oh, Three from Hell.
We watched part of three. What else did we watch?
We watched, oh my God. Oh, Evil Dead. Evil Dead Rise.
We watched Evil Dead Rise.
Great.
Oh, still
It's a good
fun.
movie.
Yeah, but what did we watch before Evil Dead Rise?
Oh, Night Killer.
Night Killer.
Night
Talk
Killer.
about Night Killer for a second.
It has the future star of Avengers, Secret Wars. It has the original actor who played who Aaron?
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. The
Ooh.
original Peter
Peter
Hooten.
Hooten. Yeah.
Yes. And this film directed by the same man who directed not Goblin 2, Troll 2,
Troll 2,
the
yes.
masterpiece Troll 2. And I would argue this is a more entertaining film. I know Troll 2 gets all the glory because, it's so bad. It's great. I argue this is better in terms of sheer entertainment.
Okay. You
I've
guys
never
have
seen
a
it.
physical copy of this?
Oh, I own
Oh
it.
yeah, Severin released
Nice.
a fancy Blu-ray edition of it.
And I saw this film 6 years ago, and I've been waiting for some theater to show it because I'm going to see it with an audience again. And lo and behold, they have not so far.
It really has it all. It's a slasher, it's a giallo,
It's a psychological thriller,
it's a psychological thriller. It's
romance.
got Nightmare on Elm Street vibes to it based on
Yeah.
like the costume design and the weapon of choice, which
Yeah.
is a very rubber glove with rubber claws that somehow inexplicably punches through people's chests.
It
It's got
happens.
dancing.
It's a Christmas movie.
Oh. It's really got it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does have it all. This
It was
it sounds like a great
impressive.
family flick.
It was impressive trash, that's for sure.
Impressive trash.
It has a Dr. Loomis ripoff.
Yep.
It's great. And like even the actor could very much be a cousin of Loomis. Like they look very similar.
It's an Italian film made in America. Notably, it was released in Italy and I believe other parts of Europe as Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3,
Whoa.
the same year that the actual Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, Leatherface, came out, which is hilarious because there's nothing at all that would connect these two
No.
things. Like there's just
Except murder.
there's literally nothing that would suggest this is clearly a
Yeah.
entry point in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre
However,
franchise.
if you ask me which version I would rather watch, it would be Texas Chainsaw 3 Night Killer.
Hey, what have you been watching?
I just want to quickly ask you guys though, this was made in
Oh.
1990?
Yes.
Okay,
Yes.
because I'm looking at the photo stills and
It
some
looks
of
like it was filmed in
the.
1975.
Yeah, and I was like, oh
So
wow, it's actually much
it probably
later.
sat on the shelf for 15
It very much
years.
has that low budget 80s slasher vibe, and because
Yeah.
it's Italy, it has a certain kind of look to it. And yes, released in 90 means it was still made in the 80s, so yeah,
Got
I.
it, yeah. Sure. Yeah. I have been watching a couple things. One of them is a goofy movie. I'm trying to think of a Halloween costume, and I was trying to think about Powerline possibly as
I
a
want to see
Halloween
this. I
costume.
want to see you dressed as Powerline.
Well, why I watched the movie was because Max has a different version in his
Stage
school getup
performance.
one, yeah, versus the actual Powerline, which seems a much more complicated costume. So I watched the movie to try and draw some I guess inspiration and design
Well, yeah,
tactics.
of course, the real Powerline would have a much more complicated costume than the high school put thrown together version.
Right, yeah. So I was gonna only watch the clip of them singing
Stand out.
Stand Out, yeah, and then I just ended up watching the whole thing, like Destiny Idaho. So it's still a good movie. And surprisingly, pretty emotional. I'm still bummed that Max is like wanting to ruin his dad's life by just going to like one concert with this girl that he just has a huge crush on, but come on, man, be serious. It's your dad there. He's
Yeah,
goofy. He
but
knows
it.
Mickey.
I mean, but the he knows Mickey. The whole movie's premised on the we should talk for 2 seconds to each other. We can clear up everything.
That's true.
Since
Yeah.
the principal's like dressed like a gang member, oh, he's causing a
Before he ends
disturbance.
up in the electric chair.
Max, the
Wallace
electric
Shawn.
chair.
Yeah. So that's what I was watching on that front. I was also watching Bob's Burgers for just doing work in the background.
In
Yeah.
Goofy Movie, do you know Rufio's in that movie?
Yes, I have since learned in the last, I think, like 99 months that Dante Bosco is the voice of the nerd that says, "Yo, Stacy, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, baby."
I mean, that's how you're gonna read that line. I mean, let's do take two on that. Let's get a more accurate reading of
Yo,
that line.
Stacy, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, baby. There you
Thank you.
go.
That we all feel better about that. The listeners are
Jordan
the
nodded
listeners feel way better
approval.
about that.
Yeah.
Where everybody was just sitting there being like, "What's this like?
Wow,
Someone else
it's
has
also watching a goofy movie right
as a
now.
proud owner of a Powerline figure that sits below my TV,
Do you really have
true.
one?
I
Very true.
accept
Wow,
that
get it right
verbally.
now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Seriously, though, we were like, the guy that does the trailers couldn't do a good, decent Goofy movie impression. Like, all right. So thanks
And then I've
for
been watching the U.S. Open concluded in Sports Corner. The U.S. Open concluded, Aaron, with Carlos Alcaraz defeating Jannik Sinner in the U.S. Open final, the
I
men's
saw some of
final.
that.
Yeah, it was a pretty exciting men's final. And then Bob's Burgers, and now we're in full-blown NFL football season.
I mean, I see you watching in the background.
No, that's just a moving art image, Jordan.
Oh.
It's a painting. I have one of those TVs that display paintings.
It's blurred, so I can't really see too
Yeah,
well. It keeps showing up. Keep showing a lot of shots of green fields being moved along with various small objects on
First
said
of all,
field.
yeah, first of all, the NFL, not a sponsor.
Who said? I didn't say anything about the. Did you say anything about the NFL? I didn't say anything about the
Although a
NFL.
sponsor of the show is the Academy Museum.
Yeah, you can join it for $100.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm watching.
I'd love the Academy Museum to be a sponsor of this show. That'd
That'd
be
be
great.
we should look into
I'd be happy to have a 30-second ad for the Academy Museum promoting the
it.
show because they paid us. That'd be a huge step up.
Send them a clip of your Jaws conversation from
I
earlier.
will now. All right. I've seen a few things this week. I saw Spinal Tap 2, colon, The End Continues,
Yeah.
which I don't think gets enough credit as being a very funny name for a movie sequel to Spinal Tap. I was quite pleased that this movie is funny,
Okay.
but also not lazy. In the realm of various comedy sequels that we've seen, specifically legacy sequels, where they're like, the idea is, I guess we thought the fans of the first one forgot the joke, so we decided to repeat them. This one's like, actually, we're smart enough to realize that's not the case, and we're going to make new jokes instead. A bold idea, apparently, in the realm of legacy comedy sequels, but that's the one they went for, and I appreciate it because that meant the movie is not just riding on nostalgia, it's actually trying something new. And what I really appreciate is that Rob Reiner, Christopher Guest, Harry Shearer, and Michael McKean, they all wrote a script that logically feels like what would it be like for these people to still be around 40 years later doing what they're doing. Or we're at least seeing where they are now because they're not there. They've broken up as a band at the start of this film. But the idea is that they're apparently contractually obligated to put on one last show, so they're forced to get back together to do it, which means like finding a new drummer,
Yeah.
which leads to a very funny montage of them trying to like audition various famous drummers like Questlove and what's his name, the Chili Peppers drummer, Chad.
Chad something.
That's
Chad
funny.
Powers.
Okay.
Chad Peppers.
But Chad Peppers. But regardless, the movie, and you know, it's obviously
Chad Smith. He is
it's
the
Chad
most
Smith. Thank you.
normal name.
Yeah. But it's so largely improvised or whatnot. It's just watching these people inhabit these characters and just doing a really good job at it. Are there references to the first one? Of course there are, but there's no lazy ones as far as just riding on the biggest notes of that first movie and like bringing into this one. There's no like big we turn this to 11 scene that's riffed on, which I was like, good, this movie knows what makes sense to not do and not do. And like the music's great. The two like big key cameos that are in all the trailers is not a spoiler, but like Elton John and Paul McCartney, they're very fun in this. Like they're very game to
Nice.
play along with the what's going on in this movie. And overall, yeah, I was just really satisfied. Like I wouldn't necessarily say I was worried because I think Christopher Guest and Rob Reiner are like smart enough to know what to try to do if they're going to make a sequel to Spinal Tap. But I was still relieved that it was at the very least consistently amusing. So I certainly, promote the idea of people seeing Spinal Tap 2 because it does the job.
Nice. Glad to hear.
I watched The Thursday Murder Club. This is on Netflix.
Okay.
It's got all the old actors from England. Helen Mirren leads the charge. We have Ben Kingsley, Pierce Brosnan, Celia Ermey, Richard E. Grant. Matt Smith's in here for a bit. So you got a lot of notable people. And it's basically about an old retirement community and some of the members, which they pursue cold cases. They look at old cases and try to like solve them.
Interesting.
Helen Mirren plays kind of the leader of this group. and she has like a backstory that like makes sense as to why she has such interest in this kind of thing. And then you have like that
She's the
kid.
actual writer of Murder, She Wrote.
It's actually more fitting than that.
Oh.
The whole movie, like, there's a mystery at play, and like certain people start dying, and I think there's a better version of this movie if it isn't a movie made for Netflix, and that's what throws it back. It's directed by Chris Columbus, by the way, of all people.
Wow, that's why he's been doing the press run, huh?
Yes, that's why he's been around in the news lately.
Yeah.
And I'm neither here nor there on the direction efforts of Chris Columbus, but regardless, it does very much feel like a movie that's made for Netflix, and I think that's a detriment to the film because I
Yeah.
think there's so many good performers here. And there's a story that I think works. It's based on a novel that I believe is very popular. And were it to be made as just a regular, focus feature or something like that, and have a different sort of budget level and a different kind of crew working on it, I think it very much would have satisfied what the story's trying to accomplish. As it stands, the movie's entirely fine. It just doesn't like rise to the occasion of being a better piece of cinema,
Sure.
which, is unfortunate because I do think there's a worthwhile thing here to do. It just doesn't pull it off because it doesn't really have the means of doing so in
Yeah.
this in that for that studio when you're not like, one of the major auteurs that, happens to get a budget from Netflix.
Right. Well, the Netflix movie thing strikes again.
Yeah. Speaking of older folks, I watched Eleanor the Great. This is the new Scarlett Johansson
Oh,
directed, her
yes.
directorial debut featuring June Squibb. The premise here is that June Squibb has a best friend of many, many years who is a Holocaust survivor. And when her friend dies, June Squibb essentially goes to a Holocaust support group and tells that story as if she was the one that survived the
Oh,
Holocaust.
no.
So it's like, uh-oh, I kind of exaggerated a thing, and now it's getting out of hand. Film also has Chiwetel Ejiofor, among other people. There's a lot of good performances in this movie, but it's also the kind of film where it's eventually like the inevitability of what it has to do is really all it's got going for it. Like once the premise is established, you're like, well, there's nowhere for this film to go except for an eventual revelation. And various characters giving like sad monologues about like why things happen the way they happened or whatnot. And those scenes do deliver because that's entirely up to the actor to deliver on those scenes. And when you have good actors doing that, yeah, you're gonna, be affected by it in the way that's intended. And I'm not trying to say the film's manipulative, it's just like there's not a lot really going for it beyond where we know this plot's already going, because like it doesn't hit like unless it's going to take a really dark turn and just like let June Squibb continue to pretend being a Holocaust survivor for the rest of her life.
That'd be interesting
That'd
direction
be
from
something. That'd be something
from
different.
ScarJo. Yeah.
That'd be a way to go. But we know that's not what it's going to be. It's just going to be a kind of standard comedy drama, emphasis on drama, and do what it needs to do. But I mean, good June Squibb performance. Good Chiwetel's been having like a quietly good year as far as like popping up in supporting roles between this and like Life of Chuck, among other things, and just like crushing these little roles. But yeah, it's like it's fine. And
Okay.
even as a piece of directorial, there's nothing that I saw that was like, oh, just Scarlett's really got it.
Yeah.
Like, she makes a competent film, but nothing that's like, nor does this film require like super stylization, but there's just nothing really else there. The last thing I saw is Affinity. This is a Mark Zaror film, Mark
Okay.
Zaror being a action guy that I'm quite the fan of. The premise here is he's like ex Special Forces. He rescues a girl, and she's kind of like out of it for whatever reason. Kind of nurses her. It felt a lot like Unleashed, except in Unleashed, like
Okay.
what's Unleashed, like Morgan Freeman is like like kind of nursing Jet Li back to
Yeah, it's
health.
like a movie I haven't thought about for like, 15 years.
But like Jet Li's like the super badass, right? Where this
Yeah.
one, Mark Zaror is the one nursing this girl back to health essentially, but he's also the super badass. Like that's the whole thing. And so eventually, like, past catches up and then he has to fight his way through a bunch of people. The plot is like whatever, and it takes a little bit to get going, but the fights kick ass. This was at the Big Bad Film Fest and I missed it, so I was having
Okay.
I got a screener for it and I was like, yeah, well, if you want to see Mark Zaror just kick a lot of ass, he's doing that here. Between this and Diablo, another film featuring him and Scott Adkins from earlier this year, I think the Diablo is much better, but you still get to see, it's just cool fight scenes, well staged. done right. So can't complain if you're a fan of just seeing just cool action sequences doing it
Great.
too. So yeah, that's out of quickies.
Trademark.
Let's move on now. Let's get to our trailer talk. We're talking about when the newest movie show of the week, when it's coming out, what we thought of it, what have you. This week we're talking Begonia. This is the latest film from director Yorgos Lanthimos. It stars Emma Stone and what's his face?
Jesse Plemons.
Jesse, thank you, Jesse Plemons. The premise, which is based on a Korean film called Save the Green Planet. I was going to read what the synopsis is. Two conspiracy-obsessed young men kidnap the high-powered CEO of a major company, convinced that she is an alien intent on destroying planet Earth. So there you go. Jordan, are you excited for Begonia?
Yeah, I think it's irrelevant whether she is an alien or isn't, because this director is going to do something completely just unpredictable. I love him. Kinds of Kindness was one of my favorite movies of last year. I cannot wait for this and the weirdness he's going to bring to this story.
Abe, how about you?
Trailer looks great. I've early buzz has been that it's a little bit more in line with like some of his earlier work, like The Lobster. So the weirdness, like what Jordan's talking about, would be there. And quite honestly, very fitting for, I guess, our modern world to make believe that somebody's an alien and go and kidnap her. Terrible thing to do in real life, don't do that. But
Don't
largely
kidnap CEOs, Abe Mua.
exactly, yeah. Put that on the poster. But also quite in our time, so weird. But yeah, I've heard good stuff, good early buzz.
Like, buzz or not, I'm just big into Lanthimos.
Sure.
He hasn't missed for me at all in his big run between The Lobster to Sacred Deer to Poor Things and Favorite, like all these kinds of kindness for that matter. I really like as well. Like, I'm just all in on what he's been doing. The way he's kind of made himself into not necessarily mainstream, but certainly someone that's caught the attention of more people than those who would have just saw like Dogtooth. Now he's like a prestige director of sorts, which is like funny to think about given the content of the movies he's been making. I'm all for it. And Emma Stone, who like has clearly worked as like his muse for the
His
past few
muse,
movies,
yeah.
like I'm all into that as well. She's great in these movies, and
Sure.
what a turn for her career as far as like the kind of roles that she could be getting versus what she's chosen to do instead. And she's doing these oddball comedy, weird satirical things. Like, I'm into it. And I don't think we talked enough about how good Jesse Plemons was in Kinds of Kindness last year, because I think he was really great in that movie.
Yeah, he's
So
great.
like seeing him like here, I and just in general, I think we all always like Jesse
I
Plemons.
mean, he's
Like,
the best part in Civil War.
Very memorable.
he's
Yeah.
very memorable in Civil War, that's for sure.
I'll also say that, yeah, his career has been on the up and up for quite a while.
Yeah, so no, I'm excited for everything about what's going on here. I want to see where things go, what it's going to do, have fun with it. Yeah, not much else to get into on this one. I'm just really excited for Begonia. I can't like the movie Save the Green Planet sounds so familiar to me, and I'm trying to remember if I've seen it or not, because that's like it's 2020, it's not that old. But I can't, because there's another movie that's also very similar to that premise that I know I've seen, so I'm trying to like I think it's like running together in my mind. I'll have to look into that later on.
Yes.
All right, well, Begonia opens in theaters, I assume, in limited release on October 24th. And surely we'll spread from there.
Yeah, great.
We
Perfect
shall
for
see.
Halloween.
All right.
All those Jesse Plemons costumes
Exactly. The
that
clear pink
you're
sunglasses, like what you're saying from
gonna see. Before we get to our main review, I want to go over the box office real quick, because this is
Sure.
quite interesting. The Long Walk, which we're about to talk about, came in at fourth place with 11.5 million. Not bad for a $20 million Lionsgate movie. Does the job. Ahead of that was Downton Abbey, the grand finale.
Yes.
Jordan volunteered to do that movie for us, and I said, no, we're talking The Long
Did.
Walk, and he was like, damn it.
Like,
So
come on.
we had a big fight.
The final one until the next
We had a big
movie.
fight about it, and things are better now. Second place was The Conjuring, which opened super huge last week to 83 million. dropped 69% to 26 million,
Ooh.
which makes sense for a movie like
Sure.
that. It's very front loaded, but still, it's made 130, and these movies don't cost much, and that's just domestic. It's fine. But the big news, Demon Slayer, $70 million this weekend.
Wow, what?
I didn't even know it was rated R. I did not realize that at all. I would not have. I didn't realize that's
A
like
lot
rated
of
R for what.
anime blood, yeah.
Racial intolerance.
That's what it's rated R for? The numbers make sense now.
It's a very conservative
Ooh.
movie. But no, Demon Slayer made $70 million this weekend. Which I mean, like, I already knew it was gonna be pretty popular, but like when it made 11 million on Thursday night, I'm like, oh, it's gonna make like ducats of money.
Wow.
I have no familiarity to Demon Slayer,
Me
so it's not
too.
like so I wasn't gonna raise it. And they sent me so many emails saying, you want a screener link to Demon Slayer? I'm like, I don't care. But no,
What if you watch it and you're like, this is amazing?
I mean, I watched Nitsa 2, and but that said, I did watch Nitsa 1 because I like to prepare. And I was very happy with the results of that one. I have no like gateway into Demon Slayer beyond like I'd have to read like a bunch of Wikipedia articles, I think, to catch up with like
So, is
where we
it a
are.
TV show or a
It's a
movie
TV show.
series?
It's like an ongoing anime series that's very popular, as evidenced by
Oh,
the
no
massive
shit.
amount of box office it
Yeah.
made this weekend. But yeah, it's
It's been fun to see people doing their reaction recording in the theaters and just like going ape shit over a character appearing. I was like, this is fun. I'm glad that the fans are having a good time.
it's the biggest international animated opening since one of the Pokemon movies from like 30 years ago.
30 years ago.
Yeah, at this point,
Wow.
maybe 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I think was one. And then it's the biggest it's the biggest R-rated animated opening of all time, which makes sense because there's not many R-rated animated films that get released in this wide of a broad of a spectrum.
Yeah, like a few nights ago, I was looking at the AMC app and I just looked at the IMAX for City Walk. And this thing was like sold out all weekend. Like every IMAX showing is like the first few rows. I just thought, wait, what the fuck? This I had no idea this thing was massive.
So perhaps like a deeper conversation for another time, but like once again, giving audiences what they want to see in a theater pays off
Yeah.
when it comes to things like this or the Minecraft movie or any number of films that have these giant openings that on a glance might not seem like much by comparison to what it actually represents when it comes to the kind of 18 to 30-ish culture that have certain things that they definitely would want to go see on a big screen, regardless of whatever
Well,
vantage
now I
point.
want to go see it. Like, I actually want to go see it without any knowledge of the property. Just going blind, with a packed house and just enjoy the craziness.
If I had time, I would maybe try to make that venture as well. But I don't know. But
It is
regardless,
like 2 hours and
yeah,
30
it's 2.5 hours. That's like it's
minutes. Oh
super
my
long.
goodness.
Hour
Jeez.
of AMC ads that they tag on, so you're looking at a 5 hour experience. You're there the whole day watching Demon Slayer. But yeah, I
The
just wanted to
whole
know.
day.
You bring a
That's
picnic
how 2.5
basket.
hours works. Yeah, the whole
Yeah,
day.
the whole day. Well, there's so yeah, when you go to an AMC theater, yeah, that's
You
what
gotta
it's
watch the
like.
stupid couple go through the genre of films. You gotta watch Nicole Kidman take shrooms and sit in an AMC theater. You gotta watch them talk about their stupid AMC laser and oh my God.
Light is our hero.
That's pretty
By
good.
the time the movie starts, you just want to go home. You're
Hey,
like, I'm good. My popcorn.
this is why I show up like halfway through.
That's the aim I want to see, the one that can nail the AMC ads, not this barely registered talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. Like, I want to see the
First of
real aim.
all, I didn't know that I was doing the Don Bosco impression. Then, yeah, I get it. I get it. Bring the energy. Okay.
Right. So I thought that was interesting enough to pause for a second because it's like that's quite the feat for the Demon
Sure.
Slayer animated
It
film.
sure is.
All right. Well, now let's
It sure
move.
slayed.
Yeah.
This is out now.
Slade. We'll be right back.
Do do do
They slayed a lot harder than Megan 2.0, that's for sure.
Oh boy, she sure did it.
All right, let's move on. Let's get to our main review for The Long Walk.
I'm proud of you, boys. You got fat. Yeah! Maintain a speed of 3 miles per hour. Walk until there's only one of you left. Who's ready to fucking win?
In Dublin's fair city, where the girls are so pretty.
I look at each and every one of you, and I see hope.
That's an episode of The Trailer of the Log Walk, based on the 1979 novel by Stephen King, written under his pseudonym Richard Bachman. The book was notably regarded as an unfilmable for years. George A. Romero and Frank Darabont were thought of as different times, along with Troll Hunter director Andre Overdahl. Finally, Francis Lawrence became attached, based on a screenplay by Strange Darlings' J.T. Mulder. The story focuses on a dystopian U.S. where 50 boys from all over volunteer for an annual long walk in which they must all maintain a speed of 3 miles per hour while walking on a never-ending road. If, for any reason, they stop following some warnings, they get their ticket, so to speak. The last one standing will receive untold riches and a gift and a wish of their choosing. Among the boys are Cooper Hoffman and David Johnson, each of whom have specific reasons for wanting to be involved. But how will friendships and bonds formed between all these kids affect the eventual outcome? Jordan, I want to know what you thought of The Long Walk.
I liked it. I didn't love it as much as a lot of people seem to be. The performances are great. The two leads are fantastic. It has some really nice moments between all the characters. Judy Greer doesn't show up for too long, but she, again, as always, does just a fantastic job with what she's given. My biggest problem with it is I found it to be just too predictable. Like, very early on, it's very clear, like, there's only one way this movie can end. And then there's a moment near the end that really solidifies it. It happens and you're like, okay, well, yeah, it's definitely going to end this way. I kind of was getting antsy. I was waiting for it to end. And it's not a fault of, like, the filmmakers. Like, it's well shot. The score is great. Again, I just found it to be so predictable. I was just waiting for the inevitable conclusion to come. So I feel like there's not a whole lot, like, to really talk about with the movie. Like, I feel like it's kind of like an empty movie. Like, when it ended, I was like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, I liked it. It's good. Would I see it again? Probably not. I did. I hated Mark Hamill in this movie. I thought Mark Hamill, like, all the actors, all the kids are doing great work. Mark Hamill's horrible in this movie. Like, right from the beginning, even before he starts speaking. Like, it's just laughable. And every line that he spews, like, just made me giggle. And any drama and tension the film builds, like, it just disappears every time it cuts back to Hamill. He's in a completely different movie. But overall, besides Hamill, I liked it.
Too much Joker voice?
What?
Too much Joker voice? Hey, Jordan!
It's just stupid.
Do God. The long walk! That's not an accurate Joker.
that's pretty great. A+. You got it.
Just killing it on the impressions after Aaron called me out.
That's the new AMC ad right there.
Go get some soda.
Heartbreak feels good in a place like this. I thought the Long Walk, it's got some moves. I think that it's a fascinating look at a couple things. One of them in particular, like capitalism and the carrots that kind of keep the have-nots motivated in this, like, a literal rat race. And then more, I think, like, around the ideas of war, and kind of sort of like the horrors that we subject youths to, kind of for the glorification of, like, old faceless men in power, namely, like, the general. And it's kind of fascinating when you look at it from the major. Yeah. Sorry. The general is a car insurance company that is sponsored by Shaq. not a sponsor of out. No, they're in a. But yeah, the major. So it's kind of like a pretty interesting look at it from, like, I guess, those perspectives. I think that the performances get stronger as the movie goes along, primarily because there are fewer people walking. So I would agree that by the time that you get to like the middle and also the third act, it has boiled down quite substantially, so that it's just David Johnson, like five characters, and one of them there's,
Spoiler.
or sorry, a few characters that is, and one of them not very prominently featured in any of the marketing, but he's a guy from South Dakota, and he's got some good stuff going on too. But yeah, like it's kind of fascinating that it just plops you in. The premise is unfolding as you are going along, but I'm still kind of digesting it and trying to figure out if there's much. I mean, I brought up two thematic things already, but the ending kind of, I'm still trying to figure out, I guess, like the final shots, so to speak. But yeah, I thought that it was a pretty fascinating movie. I'd be curious, like, what other people think about it.
I mean, people love it.
Apparently, yeah.
People are calling it one of the best King adaptations. I don't agree, but I'm glad people like that.
So I'm going to jump in and say I think it's one of the best King adaptations. I was unprepared for how much I was going to enjoy this movie. I was ready for something that was rooted in the genre that it's going for and by default plays into the camp value of it a bit. What I got was something that felt akin to a Stand By Me as far as how hard it was going on letting you rely on these relationships really bringing you in and appreciating the journey that they have to go through. I can understand feeling like there's a predictability to it, but at the same time, it's like, well, yeah, there's only going to be one person left. And yes, by just based on casting choices, I assume they're not going to eliminate the two most prominent actors halfway through the movie. Like, yeah, I know where it's going in that degree, but it's the journey that I was appreciating. I really liked being with these people in a situation where, as opposed to something like a Stand By Me, where it's about specifically their friendship, you don't have to worry about any of them dying along the way. This one is very much about the fact that, yeah, we're going to lose them one by one by one by one throughout the entire journey of this film, which adds a sense of stakes that I'm just not kind of used to with this sort of thing. That said, yes, we come at a time when we've had things like Battle Royale and The Hunger Games and various, even The Running Man, also written by Stephen King, where you have these sort of competitive life or death scenarios presented to, people. Whatever riff on the most dangerous game you can come after. So, like, I'm used to that to a degree, but I really liked what Francis Lawrence was doing here. I think ha him being the kind of spearhead of all the Hunger Games films at this point, all of which I like to varying degrees, I like that he's like let off the leash here. This is an R-rated film that very much wants to be an R-rated movie that shows what happens when these kids die. It doesn't shy away from the fact that they get their heads blown off or other various forms of gory things that take place when they drop for whatever reason. I also, yeah, I think the performances are great. I think that's a huge reason why this movie works as well as it does. Cooper Hoffman's very good here. David Johnson, especially having rung the bell so hard for Rye Lane over the past couple of years and then seeing him last year in Alien Romulus, like this guy is terrific if you just look at the range of performances he's giving in those three films alone. Like he's so good in this movie. Like I'm so ready for him to like just be a bigger movie star based on what he's doing here, and yeah, the other kid, the supporting actors here, you have what Charlie Plummer, Ben Wong, who was in we liked in
In Karate
Karate
Kid
Kid
Legends, yeah.
Legends, yeah, like they're all doing what's needed. There's the requisite kind of King corniness that comes with here. The dialogue, which is a lot of it's very verbatim from the book, very much sounds like King dialogue, which isn't like necessarily a detriment. It feels the same as like how I expect M. Night Shyamalan films to sound. They all have a specific kind of dialogue that they give that doesn't feel human. Like it feels very much like a writer's version of what people would sound like. And it's like, but I like that
But it's
that
also
fits
of
in
its time.
it. Well, it's of its time, but also this world is presented that way where it's set in like a future US, but I don't think it's set in the future US like 2040 something. I think it's more like an alternate timeline, given like the way the cars look
Yeah, they're all
and the
like from the
fact that
50s.
we like, so it feels like it's like a 2000s whatever that just somehow split off at some point, and this is like this version of that, which I liked. I like that and the movie, like you guys said, it just kind of drops you in, so you don't have to really keep much in mind about like what where we are or whatnot. It just wants to throw you into this specific part of the world and see where it goes. But no, I mean, like, in terms of like the film, everything it's doing to kind of get me to certain points, I just appreciate it. I was really into what it had to offer, and even what you were saying as far as like one of the, I think one of the biggest things I was concerned with was like, how are they going to justify why people do this if it's voluntary? And I do think the film gets across the idea of why these kids are, it's not them being like forced to do it, but instead they're actually choosing to be in the lottery to do this. I like that the film kind of tackles that in some way.
Yeah, and they tackle it pretty openly. And it's like the reason why is because everybody is extremely impoverished, and so they do it to try and get the riches that are involved.
But yeah, I like this movie. I liked it quite a bit. I'll go this far. I liked Mark Hamill in this movie, and
I
I'll say
had no
why.
problem with
I'll say why.
God.
I think he is very much over the top and ridiculous. But I also look at this character being like, so he's a major, and at this point in his life, his task is to like monitor boys marching. Like it seems like whatever he's done, he's on the bottom of some shit list because that's a terrible job to have. And I think he knows it. And I think he's buying into this, like, all right, I guess I gotta like express whatever power I have in this shit job that I have to just tell kids about, grabbing their sack and going for it and all this nonsense. He seems so like baseless in his intimidation, except for the fact that he has a gun and he's walking around with these kids. I think it
No,
really
he's not even walking, he's like driving around.
driving around. I think it really reflects just like his position in this society, let alone reflects other. Politicians now that have very little power, elite, but all they can do is just kind of talk tough. It felt very relevant to me compared to something like Life of Chuck, where I don't think he's bad in, but it does feel like a movie that's designed for him to win an Oscar, where this is just pure camp. Like I can buy this more from him because I don't think Mark Hamill's ever been an amazing actor. I think he can be pretty competent in what he's doing, but I never think he's the best part of something. Last Jedi aside, I suppose he's that's like the one time he's given like a really great performance, I think.
His best performance.
I
But
know it really is, and it's kind of a shame that he's like, I don't know, I didn't like what he did to my character. I was like, it was your best
that movie like
performance.
broke him as a
Yeah,
person.
but you
Well, yeah,
were
well, watch him in Rise of Skywalker, where he's like, yep, this is what I expect from Mark Hamill. He's terrible in that movie. Like,
yeah.
this one, I don't even disagree. It is laughable. I do think the line, the way he delivers lines, the way he just shows
Sure.
up when he's wearing those glasses and he's just standing there, I do think it's funny. And I'm not even necessarily going to say Francis Lawrence is making it deliberately funny, but that's the reaction I took away from
No,
it.
I get you.
And I didn't feel bad about it. I felt like it's just this is humoring me in a way that I appreciate for this
Yeah, and
based
again,
on
I
what
think
this
it also
character's doing.
serves like the purpose of like an any a figure person, right? That's why he's wearing the sunglasses all the time. It's not so much like it's like the major, it's just more like this oppressive force kind of
Yeah,
thing.
like that goes back to like Cool Hand Luke, where you have characters that
The
know
movie
eyes.
that
They
I
literally
took
call them.
four, 3 months to watch.
Yes, he has the character No Eyes, who always wears sunglasses, and he's this force of intimidation. He's not a character; he's just like this thing
Man,
that
that
occupies
cinematography is
space.
great in that movie.
Yes.
Oh, I get the point of the character. I just didn't like the performance. And
I
there's a
get it.
stretch where he doesn't show up, and he returns, and I was like, oh man.
I think that's what I am happy with, that he's not in more of the movie. I think I was able to
I know.
tolerate
I
the fact
wish
that he's
he
a,
was in less of the movie.
I feel like I maybe have a reaction similar to yours if he was constantly in the movie saying things. I think that would probably bug me.
For me, it's just too much.
Fair enough.
I wish he would have just shown up at the very beginning and at the
At the
very
very
end.
end.
Yeah.
Oh, Emperor Snow
Like,
style.
even then, I mean, he doesn't have a lot to do in these little segments in the
Too
middle.
much. Too much.
You guys brought up the graphicness of this movie too, and it's not just graphic from like a violence perspective. It's graphic from like a bodily functions perspective because these kids have to like walk and
They're
without
taking their
stopping all
shoes
the time.
off and they're
They're
bleeding
bleeding. Yeah, it's
and
like
wait and I mentioned this to Aaron yesterday. Like there's one kid. It looks like he's like wearing Converse. I was like, come on, guy. Like those are the worst shoes to wear. Like
a lot of the shoes I was like questionable
I
choices.
know. I was like, how long has this been going on for? You didn't do your research. You're walking 300 miles.
I have two thoughts about that. One is, I think some of them assume that they might just have a like Mike situation and turn to a basketball star. The other, I think what it perhaps does, like there's, so I never read the book. I know a lot about it though. I
Sure.
know like
Is
pretty
it
much everything
a full
about
on
the
book or a
book.
novella?
No, it's a
It
book.
it's a book.
It's like his fifth book.
Yeah. And In the book, the kids are younger. They're notably like teenagers, like young
Yeah,
teenagers. Like in this, they're all, you know,
I think they're supposed to play
regardless of whatever
older.
age they say they are, they're all like 20s. Like they look like they're in their 20s.
Yeah.
With the exception of Jojo Rabbit, like he looks, you know, young. Poor Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, first to go.
First to
Darling
go.
horse.
Yeah, but I think in a if you're adapting that book and you have kids wearing certain kinds of shoes, that makes sense to me as far as their logic thinking, yeah, these are my lucky shoes or whatever, my favorite shoes, I'll wear these. Where if you're a 20-year-old adult, yeah, you're probably going to feel more sensible what footwear you're wearing. But it also, you know, it reflects, you know, which of the kids are obviously the ones that are stronger, because just by knowing what to pack to begin with or what have you. And that's
I
why.
mean, the parents who allowed their kids to go on this walk with just Converse, you know, they're like, you know, I'm fine if my kid dies. Like, go, here your Converse, bye.
I mean, given that society, there really are some of the
I
kids
mean, yeah,
that are
they're probably
like, you
like
know,
one that's
one of the
mouth to
siblings of
feed.
the, you know, seven siblings they have, you know.
Right. Here's some slippers.
Yeah. And then Jordan, you're also talking about some of the technical things too, and I also appreciated the score and the
Score's great.
cinematography. And I think the other thing that I really kind of just dug was total production design, because they don't pass by a ton of things, but the things that they do pass by clearly been designed, like a really cool car burning or like a small little
Yeah.
shop where some kid tries to defect.
Right.
And I was like,
Yeah.
this is neat that they've set up. It's kind of fascinating, like this juxtaposition of, hey, like we live in this, like this really beautiful country with differences in cities and countryside. And here we are, like doing this the worst thing possible for ourselves, trying to get better. But yeah, I really dug the production design of just like a weird small town, or like a gas station in the middle of nowhere, or like these kids on these old school bikes just watching them go by. So yeah, really good technical stuff. The movie kind of does a lot with a little.
It's interesting how much of a timelessness there is to something like this, where you could picture this being a Depression era kind of film, or,
Sure.
you know, something in the 60s or 70s or something, you know, now, because there still are, you know, obviously there's very impoverished towns or what have you, where things are dealing with various economic stability collapsing in various ways. Like, it's, you know, it's that's not a big reach to think that, yes, there are poor people in the world or what have you, or in the US, but the fact that the film is able to do that without having to overemphasize anything, like it's just making it very apparent that, like, yes, they're walking through parts of the country that are clearly, you know, not,
Dead.
yeah, it's, it works well in kind of keeping the mood consistent for the movie. Obviously, keeping the budget down by just having limited locations or whatnot, but it makes sense because if you're walking through America, like, yes, there's a lot of just nothing in parts of it. But I mean, yeah, I mean, in terms of like, yeah, the framing of it and what have you, when it comes to the cinematography and so, yeah, that's all of these are aspects of why I think this movie is so well done, is just being a King adaptation. It's not overly complicated. It doesn't have, like, despite the fact that, yes, it has literally 50 boys, it doesn't have too many characters by way of, there's not subplots. You know, it's all focused on a very specific thing. Where I think other King movies that I dislike is because there's just too much going on, or the world doesn't feel developed enough for me to care about. I mean, that's a big issue I had with the It movies. I don't think those movies work very well because there's multiple kids, and I don't feel like I got to know all of them sufficiently in a way that made me appreciate it more. And I don't feel like the town of Derry gave me this sense of evil that it's very much supposed to have. And
Well, which is why
so,
the TV miniseries is still far superior.
well, yes. I mean, honestly, yes. It does. Like, for whatever faults it has, I do feel like there's a inherent creepiness that that movie has, in a way that that director of the movies,
Yeah.
who I just and I because I didn't like Mama either, I don't feel like
Nope.
his brand of horror does much for me.
I
And I don't
agree.
want to. I don't want to see marking on the It movies. Like, in terms of just how you do a King adaptation, I don't have a proper, you know, formula to follow.
Right,
But
like
in
a
terms of
guide,
what,
yeah.
but in terms of what this movie's doing, yes, I very much appreciate how it's going about adapting this material, the changes that it does make, and it makes a few changes. There's 100 boys in the book as opposed to 50 here.
Okay.
They're younger, as I noted already, and the ending's different, honestly, too. And the other main thing that I found interesting is in the book, part of the notion of doing this walk involves getting used to the fact that there's going to be deaths happening occasionally. And this movie changes that, because partly because there's only 50 as opposed to 100, but they never get used to the fact that somebody's dying. They're always freaked out by this thing. And I feel like that's good on their part as far as characters. It doesn't make them become immune to to their own humanity. I think that works well for the actors involved in this, where all of them who have different personalities are still responding to these horrible deaths in the same way as they should be. They're horrible. It sucks. Regardless of if they like these kids or not, it sucks that they're hearing, like, you know, their compatriots' brains getting blown out of their faces because, like, they, you know, slowed down on their walk or whatnot. I think that's handled really well throughout this movie.
Yeah, and
I do like how the title card shows up like 20 minutes in.
Yeah, it's got this cold open.
I like that.
It's the kind of thing where, like, we've seen this trailer for Bud, so it's like, we know what. Because I think, like, if you watch the movie in a vacuum, and they just say things like, you know, you get your ticket, it's not specific that you're going to get shot in the face and die. Like, it doesn't tell you that. So by the time you actually see it happen for the first time, were you to have no information going into this whatsoever, I imagine that would be more jarring, right? And then you get, and then the title comes up.
It's a graphic headshot.
On, like, ostensibly the youngest kid in the pack, too. So, like, if you were to watch this completely blind, I imagine that's a pretty effective title reveal, right? I still think it works, right?
Yeah. And, sure. Wait, yeah. And he died because he had, like, a cramp or something.
Yeah, Charlie Horse.
Charlie Horse.
Yeah.
But he was probably wearing the wrong shoes, too, Jordan.
What's that?
He was probably wearing the wrong shoes as well.
If you got a Charlie Horse that close in, yeah, he was definitely wearing the wrong shoes.
And they even, like, tried to help him out too. You know, there's like, yo, man, like, stop breathing, like, slow down a little bit. And then he's like, oh. I think
the exact noise he made.
I mean, but as we all know, Jojo Rabbit was a Nazi sympathizer. So, I mean,
Sam had to shape him out. I think the other thing that I want to point out too is that I think that. You were talking about the deaths earlier about compatriots and what have you. What kind of makes it more effective too is that you do start to get to know these people and sort of why they are doing what they do and or the relationships that are being formed. Like, you know, one of the characters kind of maps everything out and he's like, well, you know, I've got this great strategy here, guys, and, you know, I'm totally going to win this thing. And his shouting words are like, I miscalculated or I didn't strategize correctly, and you're just like, this is the worst.
Something I'll say about that, what I like is, despite the fact that this is essentially a competition and there's only going to be one winner, it doesn't do something that I think would be more cliche, which would be purposely putting them at odds against each other. As far as, like, inspiring to kill other one of the kids or getting into just giant fights or what, like, there's some antagonization in varying degrees, but I think a lesser film would make it more like a Hunger Games as far as, like, directly competing against the other people in this competition as opposed to them ostensibly staying together. Some might not like the idea of this more than others, but they do ostensibly work as a unit as opposed to opposing tribes, you know?
And characters who do, like, incite that tension, it stays with them throughout the whole movie. Yeah. Like, they're haunted by it, and up until the end,
because they're not sociopaths. Like, they feel bad. Like, they have really reason to regret the choices they made in real time.
Yeah, I mean, even when the leads kind of has, like, a pretty serious, like, come to Jesus moment about what he's doing, why he's doing it. And it doesn't even happen at the end of the movie. It happens about, like, halfway through the movie with, like, another character. But all this to say is that, it's kind of good because even I kind of started to sympathize with a character that I really didn't like, who was kind of, like, a huge asshole. And then you're just like, well, they keep on repeating something that he did. And it's like, I would agree that he is this thing, but also, you know, he's feeling some weird guilt and starts slapping himself at times too, and you're just like, something's going on with this guy.
Oh yeah.
And I kind of feel bad for him.
There's a lot you can infer from that performance and, like, why he, you know, is doing certain things, even saying certain things.
Yeah, he's gonna be my hashtag for the movie.
Okay.
Hashtag slap myself.
Not that. I would never condone self-harm.
You mentioned Greer early on, Jordan, and I agree that she's very good here in what she has to do.
Yeah.
It was, I don't say amusing, but it was certainly like the first, she's in basically the first scene of the movie, and she comes in looking like the most haggard version of Judy Greer mom.
She's never looked worse.
Like, she's
in any movie.
But she's like, she's effective because she knows how to do that part.
I
But
mean, yeah, she's
like,
doing it.
just seeing her come in and being like, oh, wow, this is the worst she's ever looked at this role. It's so, and it's sad and it's effective. It does the job. And yes, it's a direct opposition to what I think is a, deliberately satirical Mark Hamill performance. This is like authentic and it's trying to mean something. And then, like, the fact that it's not the last time we see her, it, continues to mean something. So it's
I
like,
really like the scene when she shows up towards the end. That's probably my favorite scene in the movie. Like, it's so just like moving.
It's my favorite Cooper Hoffman scene in the movie too, I think.
Oh
So
yeah.
it's, I think it's also, like I mentioned David Johns, but Cooper Hoffman's really good in this
And
movie.
he has so many like does so many hand gestures that his dad did. Like it's so evident. Like, oh, you're related
One of the great, one
to
of the
Bill
greatest
Smith.
actors
Like
ever.
just his gestures are identical. Like it's almost like haunting to see at times. Like, wow.
He's very effective here. Yeah, and I
I
think
like.
I would argue that he does get better. He's one of the characters that gets better over the course of the movie, like both acting and as a character.
Well, I think that comes to the dialogue at play. I mentioned the corniness of King's dialogue. I think once it kind of gets more rooted in the dramatic side of things as opposed to the, I don't want to say the fun of like we're starting this walk, but there's a looseness to it because they're bonding and what have you, and they're finding their way as far as friendships go. Once it gets down to the there's only so many of us left and we're really contemplating why we're doing this or whatnot, the dialogue I think also strengthens as well, and it gives the actors more to chew on. But no, I yes, he's good, and yes, as the kind of the character grows, we grow with him, and it works. It's really effective.
Another scene I liked was the flashback with the dad. I thought, actor who played the dad is in for like a
John
minute.
Hamilton,
It's great. Like the few seconds he's in it, he's wonderful.
and it gives you just enough of a glimpse of like this fascist world that the US has become. Totally fictional.
And also the
Yeah.
household too. Like in like 30 seconds you get everything you need to know about that family. It's like, oh my God, like it's so economical, the
It
filming.
is, yeah. And I what's also fascinating is like the discussion that he has with Cooper Hoffman has with David Johnson's character later about that situation too. And I'm like, oh, I didn't really think about it in that situation, but Dave Johnson's very positive about like look, man, it might have been like a selfish reason, and it wasn't great for you guys as a whole. And Cooper Hoffman's just like, no, man, he showed me the way. And I was like, this is a very fascinating discussion. And again, it shows a lot of growth, character growth.
I liked Ben Wong in his role. I'm just still curious about this kid. Between this and Karate Kid Legends, I'm like, he's got something going for him. And here he has to play this kind of, after having seen him in Karate Kid, it's like we know what his like natural accent is. So he's playing, something that's more, I would say exaggerated, but certainly more pronounced in this movie. And it, like he, but he has an act as a performer in this because he has to be. Would you call him comedic relief? Like, would that be like the appropriate way to call him? Like
Probably
he's,
him and Art, like the duo of those two.
yeah.
But
I mean,
everybody's kind of got
that's what the
funny
film
lines.
provides.
He certainly seems like his sole operation for most of his time in the movie is to be a funny thing to bounce off of, I guess is where I'm at. And I think he does that well enough
Before he gets his arm in a sling and he's
before
like,
again the
oh,
movie
Jesus.
finds a reason to kind of make things more severe for his character as you expect. Because like I don't think the long walk's gonna end with Ben Wong walking off with all
So what if
the money.
it
10 naked ladies. He doesn't want to pay for them, guys. He just wants them.
Hashtag.
Amy, but without getting too far into detail on it, you mentioned that the ending you're still contemplating, I suppose.
Mean, can we just talk spoilers? I mean,
I mean,
about the ending?
it's not really like there's not a ton of spoilers to say, I think. It's just more of is it all illusory? And
I thought that too.
I'd say that was my take on it, just given like
Like there is no winning, so to speak.
sure, but even given like the scenario presented and everybody that's in that scenario, if the things happen the way they happened,
there's no way he's walking away
there's
like that.
No, there's no way there's, yeah, there's, I think there's an inevitable outcome that would immediately come from what happened there versus what we actually see happen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So like, I can appreciate that in a way. I can think of multiple other movies that give you a kind of fantastical point of view
right.
of what the final minutes would be are for these characters versus what the reality should be.
Mm-hmm.
In that respect, I liked it. I was like, I'd rather.
Yeah,
see,
I mean,
I'd rather see what the film. I'd rather see what this film chose to present to me as opposed to the other version that probably is what actually happened.
Yeah, exactly. You take some chances. You know what I mean.
It's just like it's the only point in the film that's, I guess, leaning into, you know, a different realm of a different sort of you know, bending reality, I suppose, where there like there's no other point in the film that does that.
Right, but I think the film like earns that.
Yeah,
the right to end that way.
I would agree.
Yeah, it doesn't seem cheap.
Anything else about The Long Walk?
No.
And again, like, you know, in terms of King adaptations, like just off the top of my head, like ones that I mean, I prefer over this one, like Shawshank, Green Mile, Mist, Shining, Carrie. So, like, no, it's not in the top
mm-hmm.
King adaptations. If I were to make a list, it'd probably be at least top 20. I don't know, out of the 10,000 King adaptations that have been made,
mm-hmm.
I'd say it's not so bad.
I haven't made a list. I would assume it would probably be in the top 10. That said, I did when I initially saw it, and I've seen it twice. I saw it with Jordan yesterday. I said it's the best King adaptation for me since The Mist, which is 2008. And there's been had to count them, but there's been a lot since then. Very few would be considered notable. I would say. I mean, the It films would be about it, along with like Dr. Sleep and.
No, that's called Rosie the Hat. Come on, be serious.
And like just a few others, but regardless, I just do think it. I think it operates on a level where, yeah, yes, perhaps it's not one of the greatest films ever made, like The Shining, but I do think it's very, or Shawshank Redemption, mm-hmm. but I do think, especially in terms of King thrillers specifically, if I rule out things like for example, Life of Chuck, which I also really like, the King's having a good year, as far as I'm concerned, by the way, but if I rule out things that are more...
Mark Hamill's having half of a good year.
Yeah. If I rule out things that are, yes, more just straight up drama like Green Mile or Shawshank or Dolores Claiborne, like, then I would narrow it. It would narrow it down even further.
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2. His segment in Creepshow. Yes. The most dramatic of all.
I'm getting some money tonight.
What's it? Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah.
But regardless, no, I am very impressed and more impressed than I thought I would be from what this story had to offer. So that's where I landed on this.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't you people go and see The Long Walk? It's currently playing in theaters. Jordan, why don't you people see this movie?
I mean, I say see any movie in theaters. So go see it in theaters.
Yeah, like I'm still trying to compile some thoughts toward the third act there, but yeah, I think it's like worthy of a theater performance, if not then dollar theater matinee kind of thing. Yeah,
I mean when so many people have some form of a pass, just go see it.
Sure. Yeah. In terms of movie subscription passes, yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's highly effective. So I'd say go see this in theaters. Have a great time with it.
And we saw it in just a regular theater. It's playing like Dolby if you have AMC and Prime, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm sure it's great in those as well.
Sure.
You hear those gunshots rip through those little boys' faces and full audio. It's great. All right.
I think I felt worse for the kid with the tank situation, where it's like it wasn't clear if like they put him out of his misery. It was like this is the
worst. Oh yeah.
That was the thing that kept getting to me, by the way. The fact that there is so like. Either rigid or just like assholes about the just shoot them. Like clearly they're not getting back up from this. Like just shoot them already. Like what are we doing?
Yeah,
let them suffer. Let them.
It was like God. What are we proving in this situation?
Right.
All right. Let's move on. Let's Abe. What time is it over here?
Oh, I think it's time for a quick game here. Lit
mean, all
enough.
these years I've been hearing that you do that on an iPad. I thought you actually had an instrument. Oh my
We
God. I
keep
do have an
getting them, Aaron.
instrument. I feel so
That
cheated.
is an instrument.
Oh
We
my
keep
God. I
surprising our
feel
guests with the
on an
liveness of our
iPad.
show.
Oh my
That
gosh.
is the regardless of the platform said thing is used, I still have to make the music
That's true.
myself. Oh
Yeah.
my
Let it know. In
God.
fact,
It's not like I
Jordan.
pressed the button and said, create magic. I
Yeah.
created the magic. Me.
On an
Aaron
iPad.
actually, Aaron
Oh
submitted
my
that
gosh. I can't get
for,
over this.
yeah, Aaron submitted that for the opening theme when they're driving. And the director, Francis, was just like, it's a little bit too nice. I'm trying to go for a somber theme, Aaron. So he didn't get picked up.
He had that tune when the kid was ripped in half by the tank.
Well, that was the improv theme for games. Do you have a game for us this week?
I do have a game for you guys this week. It is called Stephen Who? Stephen Who. This is the game where I have a list here compiled by none other than Time Magazine.
Oh, heard of them.
Yeah. I won't name the name of the author, but this is a person that has ranked Stephen King movies.
Okay.
You have to
Who's the
name
author?
the top 10. And I will let you know if you get if you're number one, you get 10 points. If number two, you get 9 points, et cetera, et cetera. Top 10. Taking turns here.
What
Jordan, you
year
are
did
the
this list come out?
it came out pretty
This year.
recently. Yeah. So I would say that you should think about everything in his entire filmography of
Oh,
adaptation.
what is pretty recently? What does that mean?
Probably like
What?
within the last like week.
Okay, so this year. Okay, that's what I
This
was asking.
year. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I want to know.
Jordan, you are
This is an
this
article
week's.
from
I think that
1990.
should be fantastic. Jordan, you are this week's guest. You can decide if you want to go first or
So
second.
I just name a random Stephen King movie that I assume is in that list.
Yes.
Okay,
Any
so.
movie, did not like
But try
thriller,
to.
any movie.
Yeah, try to think of the top 10 movies, according to
Okay.
however this Time Magazine thing is thinking about it.
Okay, I'll go first. Stand
Okay.
by Me.
Stand By Me is a great guess. Number
I mean, yeah.
six on this list.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Aaron, what about you?
Shawshank Redemption.
The Shawshank Redemption is a really good guess.
It's not
It
on
is the
this.
number two movie on this list. That's 6 points or 5 points for Jordan, 9 points for
It
Aaron.
only movies, by the way?
Only movies.
Has it no TV specials or TV movies or anything like that? So you mean
No
like Red
TV.
Rose?
No
The
TV.
perfect storm.
Stephen Weber
Yeah.
Shining.
No perfect
No
storm.
TV. The TV adaptation is not on this list.
Okay. All
Jordan, we'll go back to you.
right. The Shining.
The Shining is the number one movie on this list.
Yeah.
Aaron, you shouldn't feel bad though. You got the number two movie on this list.
It was one or the other, so I
Yeah.
chose the other one.
I'm actually surprised Shining wasn't number two and Shawshank was number one. That's what I would have assumed.
The horror
But
factor.
whatever.
It's the horror factor.
Aaron, we'll go back to you.
Carrie.
Carrie is a really good guess, Aaron. It's the number three movie on this list.
What?
Aaron getting some points here, by the way, Jordan.
I know. I know.
You've got points too, but
I have points.
he's got two of the top three points here.
Whoa.
What
What?
are we doing?
Green Mile.
The Green Mile is a really good guess.
It's not on the list, fuck this game.
It is the number nine movie on this list.
What? That's too low.
Accurate.
That's too low.
Aaron, we go back to you.
Curious what make the list because it seems like it's still. Well, I'm still gonna say it. The Mist.
The Mist. It's a really good guess. It didn't make the top 10, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
thought that was possible.
fuck that!
I
Didn't make
know.
the top
Didn't
ten.
I'll tell you
on the
where. Oh, I'll
list.
tell you where it
This
lands
list
after the
sucks,
game.
actually.
Yeah.
Now I don't trust this list. So I'm
Well,
gonna.
yeah, it's annoying to have to guess somebody else's
I
take.
know.
There's no skill involved in this
Doctor
beyond knowing.
Sleep. Okay, I'm gonna say Doctor Sleep.
Doctor Sleep is a really good guess. It didn't. It's not on the top 10.
Okay, good, because it shouldn't. But I don't trust this list anymore, as we
If it
know.
was, Dr. Sleep director's cut, would it make the list?
No,
Okay.
I just don't like that movie. I don't like that movie in either
I
form.
should make a top 10 just so I know where I'd stand up. I do like that movie. I think fine, but I would be curious where I'd stand some of these things if I actually made my list. Next for me, let's see. Well, since we both missed one, now we get like a free guess. would it make the, well, okay, Misery.
Misery.
Yeah, I
Really
forgot
great
about that one.
guess.
Oh yeah. That'll be on the list.
It is the number four movie on this list, Aaron. Aaron has three of the top four, Jordan.
What if Dreamcatcher is like number five?
Jesus That'd be hilarious.
They put Phantoms ahead of it. It's like, that's Dean Koontz. I know. That's how bad Dreamcatcher is.
The Running Man.
I don't even think that made this list.
Never
We'll
know.
find out in a second.
It's on the
Jelly and
top
potato salad.
10. Yeah, it's on the top 10, but it did not make this list.
Okay.
Yeah. Aaron, we go back to you.
I'm gonna throw it out there. Dolores Claiborne.
Aaron, that's a really good guess. It is the number five movie in this list.
Wow, that's high. I mean, it's a great movie. Like it gets because it's not Misery and it's not like an iconic Kathy Bates performance, but it's like a really well done drama.
Yeah, I don't love it, but I like it enough. Oh, Pet Sematary.
Another really good guess. Did not make the top 10.
The hell?
I reckon that's bullshit, you hear?
Stupid Time Magazine.
Christine?
Oh my, if Christine's on that
Oh
list, then
man.
not Pet Sematary.
It did not make the top 10, but it's a really good guess.
Okay.
Couple more rounds here. I like to say that, Jordan, you would definitely need to get all three of all three remaining. You
What
guys have named a
about
lot. What
what about that like silver bullet? Oh
We just talked about that like a couple of weeks
wait,
ago.
no. Shut up. Cujo.
Cujo.
Cujo. Classic. Not in the top 10.
Oh, okay. But a silver bullet.
Yeah.
Number seven, silver bullet.
Number seven.
I mean, I'll assume since even though I'm in the minority and I'm right, it chapter one.
It,
It's
Capitolo Uno,
better than chapter two.
did not make the top 10.
Oh, well, there's some right in the universe.
Jordan, Aaron asked earlier, what year was this list made? And I said, this year. And I said,
Yeah.
maybe even this week.
Oh, did they put Long Walk on there? Just
Is that your
giving
answer?
hints, huh?
Yeah.
That's not what we're doing.
Is that your answer?
Sure.
The Long Walk
Okay.
is on this list here. That's like the number seven movie. That's 4 points. Jordan, you're not gonna catch Aaron. Aaron has 30 points. You have 21 points.
Wow. Okay.
So
What will
Aaron,
I
I
ever
guess
do in
last
life?
funsie guess.
Well, last guess. I'm gonna go Gerald's Game.
Gerald's Game. Really good guess. I'm at the top 10.
Life of Chuck.
Oh, I forgot Life of Chuck.
I'm going
Yeah.
to give you that one because it's not going to make any difference. That's the number 10 movie on
That's
this
number
list.
10. Okay. Let's left. Well, you Silver Bullet. Did you get
Wait.
Silver Bullet already?
Wait. How many are left?
There's only one left in the top 10.
What number? Seven?
Well, it's like
It's
eight.
number eight.
It's not thinner.
Thinner. Don't let anyone spit in your face and say thinner.
I doubt it's The Stand.
That's
The remake.
Oh, what about needful things?
Needful
It's not
Things.
Needful Things.
It's not Maximum Overdrive.
Not Maximum Overdrive.
Is it an 80s movie?
It is an 80s movie.
Okay, what are we missing?
Silver Bullet? Did
It's
we actually
not
ask that?
Silver Bullet.
Oh, Salem's Lot.
Ooh, no.
That one thing I think that's like 79, but
Oh.
that's also like a TV thing. It's like it was a,
Wasn't it released in theaters also? I
it was a
don't know.
three night TV like series
I
thing.
don't know
Three
if I'm
night
gonna
TV,
see. What an
three night
event.
TV, stay
Deep.
there all
What
three
'80s
nights.
King movie are we not thinking of?
Well, I'll start with the number.
Hold on. Give one hint.
1983.
Tell me
83.
who di no, not who directed it. That would give it away.
Well, you guys will hear it when I go
83.
here. Now, this movie, this list had 20 movies.
Okay.
It
Number
what?
20, The Mist.
Okay, well.
19, Creepshow, which we talked about with Mark Hamill. 18, No Smoking, a movie from 2017 or 2007.
Okay.
17, Pet Sematary, and there you go, Jordan. 16, 1922, a movie from 2017.
That's a movie.
Number 15 was Christine. 14 is Cujo. 13, Gerald's Game. Number 12, Doctor Sleep. 11, It Chapter 1. It doesn't really specify It Chapter 1 or 2, so I'm just gonna think it's Chapter 1.
Well, yeah,
They loved both of
but
them equally.
that's being generous to lump two with it.
Now we're going to the top 10 here. Top 10, Jordan, you got it right. Number 10, The Life of Chuck. Number 9, The Green Mile. Number 8, Christopher Walken.
Oh, the dead zone.
The
How did I forget
Dead
the dead zone?
Zone.
Okay.
The Dead Zone. Number 7, The Long Walk. Number 6, Stand By
That's such a
Me.
movie that I always forget it's Stephen King. I'm
Didn't they
always
remake it
surprised. I'm
too?
always like, oh yeah, that's right.
Well, they had a, there was a USA TV series
Yeah,
with Anthony
yeah.
Michael Hall for like 7 years.
Yeah.
But no, the Dead Zone's great. Oh my God,
Yeah.
I forgot the Dead Zone.
6, Stand By Me. 5, Dolores Claiborne. Aaron, good call there. 4, Misery. 3, Carrie. 2, Shawshank Redemption. Number 1, The Shining.
This 10 would be fairly close. Like I'd move the rankings around, and I'd probably put The Mist in over The Green Mile. But otherwise, it's pretty close to what I'd have in here.
Well, thank Time Magazine for
No.
it.
All
As
right.
simple as that. Stephen, who?
Thanks for that game, Abe.
You're
That
welcome.
was fun. All right, let's move on. Let's get some about feedback.
Feedback.
Is very where we go over the various questions answered on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/AskBellPodcast. Ask the number of questions of the listeners. They gave us some answers. Then we got a question as well. Jordan, feel free to throw any answers that you might have as we go through these.
The first question here is, what are your favorite films featuring dangerous contests? Chris Lynn has Bloodsport and Ready or Not. Jeff Mendez writes The Running Man and The Hunger Games. Jeffrey Webb writes The Deer Hunter. David Malouf has Death Race 2000 from 1975 and The Running Man, Pure Camp. Lastly, Philip Hurt has The Right Stuff and The Space Race was a dangerous contest. Historical.
Describing it,
Yeah.
yeah. Dangerous. I mean, Battle Royale, since it didn't come up.
Dangerous contests.
The past,
Speed Racer.
the past of John Leguizamo.
The Pest. Yeah. Johnny Legs.
Johnny Legs. He's being hunted. Jordan, anything?
Every Ocean's movie,
Every.
a contest to.
That
To
Terry
win the
Benedict,
riches.
you know, there used to be a guy would just get you back, whack you, and that'd be over. But no, he's gonna take over your cousin's car dealership.
And then go to work on you.
Yeah.
Jaws, the 4th of
And
July
let's not
contest.
forget, if you guys make it out, you're still in the middle of the fucking desert.
All right. Who are your favorite Stephen King movie villains? Joe Jan says Jack Torrance, Christine, Annie Wilkes, and Ace Merrill, Kiefer Sutherland's character in Stand By Me. Chris Cleland has Margaret White, Carrie's mother, and Rose the Hat. Dave Maloof writes, Mrs. Carmody from The Mist, as brilliantly played by Marcia Gay Harden, the ultimate demagogue and more timely than ever. Rose the Hat from Dr. Sleep, played by Rebecca Ferguson, to malignant perfection. And Philip Hurd writes, Clancy Brown in The Shawshank Redemption.
Man, that guy's an asshole. Bigger villain, him
I
or
mean, the
the warden?
cemetery and Pet Cemetery.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
First of all, they shouldn't have buried their cat there.
Bigger villain, Warden or Clancy Brown? I mean,
Yeah.
Clancy Brown's like a tool of the Warden, so I think, I guess, by default, the Warden,
Yeah.
because he's like terrible and a coward.
He is a coward, he kills himself. Stephen King movie villains. Probably that weird librarian that, you know, Pennywise takes the shape of. She's probably a real person that is terrible.
No, so not Pennywise, but the
Nope.
weird librarian.
Nope. Yeah. I mean, he manifests real characters, right? So she's probably like this really
Yeah.
mean librarian. That's who. The next question here.
Hold
What are
on, I'm
some.
trying to. I was trying to.
Oh.
I was trying to make sure, and I'm gonna go because I mentioned
About the
Dolores Claiborne.
librarian?
No, I was kind of. I was trying to make sure it's David Strathairn's Kathy Bates' husband and Dolores Claiborne, and he is an asshole. So I'll throw that out there.
Are imitating life.
Martin Sheen in the Dead Zone. Also, he uses a baby as a shield. He's a monster.
Martin Sheen, man. What a run. We got to do a Martin Sheen retrospective one day. The next
He's
question
still
here.
alive.
I know.
R.I.P. It's dead to us.
The next question here. What are some great films about having to push through the elements and keep moving? Scott Minerson writes, Meet the Robinsons, keep moving forward or die. David Malouf has The Gray, a film that took me by surprise with its theme of existential dread and man versus nature. Philip Hurt has Society of the Snow and The Impossible. Chris Lynn has Touching the Void and The Gray.
I mean, Twister.
They gotta keep moving. Yeah.
Gotta keep
Real
going.
elements there too.
Real elements.
What did they start chanting when they want to go eat steak at that lady's house?
Food.
Oh, food.
Food. Food.
Food, food,
Food.
food. Talk about Philip Seymour Hoffman.
The gray is certainly a good answer. I mean, I guess Free Solo. He's got to move through the elements.
And that one's like a documentary.
Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
That actually fits.
I know. That's why I said
He
it.
knows.
I know.
Right. What's the furthest you've ever walked without stopping or taking a major break? Oh, I
Oof.
mean. Luke Thompson, friend of the show, writes, nearly made it all the way from Hollywood to Westwood once.
That's insane behavior.
Mark Hoffmeyer, friend of the show, writes, I worked a 20-hour day during an event in Napa, and I ended up with 52,000 steps. It wasn't fun because it was July in Napa.
Oof.
Brandon Peters writes, I once took the last bus in Burbank after a late night shoot and got off the wrong side of the street of the for the last bus to pick me up in the middle of the night. The dresser shoe was on. I walked from Sun Valley to North Hollywood. I want to say it was like 2.5 to 3 hours. Not fun.
Again, Jordan, wrong shoes.
I know, wrong shoes. Oh, wasn't
Get
it?
your ticket
It
that
was.
way.
It wasn't intended.
I know, I know.
Chris Cleland has. I used to run mountain marathons and ultra marathons. Longest nonstop was 65 miles in 14 hours. Pass. Philip
Chris, we
Hurt
said
writes.
walking, not running.
Philip Hurd writes a 25-mile hike in the Marine Corps in Okinawa. No Miyagi sighted. We took some breaks along the way, but you can't stop for too long and stiffen up.
Well, he's at the bar in Happy Days. That's why you didn't see him there, Philip.
David Louf writes 17 miles for real.
I believe you. These guys have y'all beat. The longest walk I've ever done.
1 mile.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I park a
Uphill.
mile.
Abe's only gone backwards in his life. He's never walked forward in his life.
Nope, yeah. I'm just like, back hill both ways.
I mean, you know
Well,
those San
to
Francisco
school from
hills.
school, yeah, California street, don't take it.
I don't know the distance offhand, but I walked up and down Masada when I was in Israel, which is a distance.
60 miles.
It's not that long. Like you do it as the sun was rising, going up and then down. Going. The funniest part of going down was we were going down, and it's not like I go to Masada all the time. So like I was going down, and I realized there's a cable car elevator you could take. There's people that don't do the walk at all, and they want us to have the real experience of
Now,
the.
did you point at them and say cheater?
No, but it was certainly like halfway down when you finally realize, wait a minute, what's this coming up? These lines. Oh, this is a whole easy way for tourists to do this, but they
Yeah.
wanted us Jews to have the real experience of them walking away. Anyway, I've probably walked longer, having done
Yeah.
track and all that, it's probably longer walks, but that's a notable one at
If we're
least as
talking,
far
yeah,
as
if we're
I
running,
specifically did a
walking,
thing for a thing. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, I didn't count my steps when I first traveled out to Japan, but you're just walking all over the place. Anyway, the next question here: What fictional movie band did you want to see reunite? Brandon Peters says, Loveberg, Loveburger, obviously. Sorry, Crucial then has, I suppose they would need to make another Scott Pilgrim for Sex Bubble Bomb. David
That's
E.
what I was
Milov has,
thinking.
it's the Rudels, the Bloody Rudels. David Philip Hurt has the basement band from Whisper of the Heart, and Jeff Bennett has, if you know more than Scotty, the band from Eurotrip, Lustra, Lestra.
What about the band from Jabba's Palace?
Max Rebo.
Let's get those people back together.
Were they didn't play the Gantina song, did
Get
they?
those
No,
humans back
that the
together.
Mos Eisley Cantina band.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Get those human beings back together.
I mean, as far as like music I'd actually want to hear, yeah, Sex Bob-omb would be the ideal version of that. I'd want to hear more just of that band and songs written by Beck. Those all, one day, who knows? Maybe we could finally get the Oneaters, aka the Wonders, aka Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters back together and see if they have a new song like that
Aaron,
thing
they're
you
never getting back together. The movie
that thing
is
you still do.
so sad.
It's not that sad. It's not impossible for them to get back together.
That's probably true.
It's literally like Steve Zahn gets married. He can play bass again. He's not stopped from that. Once Ethan Embry gets out of the army, he can come back to, or he's the bass player. Steve Zahn's just other guitar. Jonathan Shake just wanted to write songs. And Tom Everett Scott just wanted to play drum. Like, none of them had like a
And
band
now
in
he's
it.
married to Emma Stone's character in La La Land,
In
and
La La Land, yeah.
they go
See?
to the jazz club.
This seems like a totally plausible way for them to just get back together for a
You
jam,
know what? We
for a jam
should.
sesh.
You know how we get this made? We have to do a typewriter note to Tom Hanks.
A typewriter note to Tom Hanks, yeah, to play tone.
Yeah, dear Hanksy.
Dear T. Hanks.
Yeah, exactly. All
Right,
right.
favorite mockumentary. Chris Cleveland has Borat, What We Do in the Shadows, and Fear of a Black Hat. Davey Loof writes District 9, hands down, and Bruno, hilarious. Philip Hurt has Waiting for Guffman, and Jeff Mendez went for The Office.
Favorite mockumentary. These are some good ones. A lot of the what's that group called? The old group with Christopher Guest and Co.
What, Spinal Tap or
No, 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 no. Like, aren't they like a part of
well,
like a troupe?
there's no name for them. They're just
Oh.
the actors Christopher Guest works with.
Yeah, but they've had a lot of great runs.
I mean, like, yeah, Best in Show
Best
would
in
be
Show.
like
Two Left Feet.
Best in Show would be like a go-to answer for me.
Yeah.
Like What We Do in the
What We Do in the
Shadows.
Shadows. I mean, Popstar is getting there as far as like every time I watch it, I'm like, I'm not loving this. Like,
Sure. I mean, we need them all.
I mean,
Well,
there's a lot.
there are a lot,
Yeah.
yeah. And it's pretty good. It's a pretty fun genre to do if you do it right as well. Although I haven't really seen like a ton of terrible ones, I would say. Well, now we move to questions that are being asked of us on the panel today. Chris Lynn asks everybody here, is there anything else by Mr. King that you would like to see on the big screen or even remade?
Well, remade, that introduces some ideas.
I have to look up his bibliography.
Yeah, I don't know what like untapped work of his needs to be done that hasn't been done yet. It feels like The Long Walk was one of the last ones as far as ones they've been wanting to do, but just haven't figured out a way to do it.
I really like Revival, and I wish that were to be made into a film.
All right. As far as remade, who do we want to do again?
Now, people were really excited about the Dark Tower stuff, and
Oh, there we go.
it
Yeah,
wasn't
do
like
that.
an amazing movie, I guess. But like people are like, it's a really great premise, and it still involves a lot of the themes that Stephen King has around dairy and all the other stuff. So I'd be curious about that, I guess, as a remake.
Well, I mean, by all means, it was a terrible movie, and everyone really hated it compared to like what the material was. So yeah,
Yeah,
give
I
me
can't.
that.
Who played opposite Idris Elba?
Matthew McConaughey, of course. He wore an apron.
Really?
He ate fried chicken. I know Flanagan is working on like an Amazon
That's
series
not what
like
we call him.
for
We call
Dark
him
Tower.
Flanny.
All right. So I mean, yeah, do another crack at the Dark Tower, sure. Do that.
Yeah.
Like that's much better. All right. That's enough feedback.
Feedback.
And that's gonna bring us to the end of this week's episode about Now, There, and Abe. You can find everything I do on my personal Substack page at codazeek.substack.com. I am the editor-in-chief at Weekly Entertainment. I write for Wise the Blue as well. I am the co-host of Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla. If you're in the LA area, next week. LA Comic Con's coming up, and Terrence and I will be having our panel for LA for Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla. So stay
amazing
soon.
Photos.
The 27th.
Hey.
Photos, video, there'll be everything. Don't worry.
I got some merch that you got. It's great.
You got some merch, yeah. Indeed. And all the socials at Aaron's PS4. Abe.
You've heard more fun stuff over my Instagram, abe.mua, and Blue Sky, Twitter, Walrus Moose, hashtag lean on Pete.
Jordan Grout, where can people find more of you online?
You can go to whysoblue.com.
Great. You can find all the other episodes out now with your name on iTunes, Audible, Spotify, and Stitcher.
SoundCloud, Podomatic, and HHWLOD.
Feel free to email us at notpodcast@gmail.com.
Check out our Facebook page and our Blue Sky at NO Podcast.
And Twitter and Instagram at @OutNow_podcast. Jordan, thank you very much for joining us today.
Ooh, thank you.
Thank you, Jordan.
Fun.
Live and in studio.
Glad to have our original guest back on the show with us.
Original guest.
JG.
JG.
Next week, we're talking him. Him, we shall be talking. And
are we going to get Martin Lawrence? Are we getting Marlon Wayans on the show?
We're getting Sean.
Okay. No, great. I love Sean.
Yeah, you know, he's not very active these days. He just kind of hangs out with his family. But, you know, he said for you.
Anything.
Anything. Yeah, we're talking to him next week. Thanks, Jordan, once again. Thanks to the listeners for listening. That's going to do it for this week's episode. So until next time, so long.
And goodbye.
This is Out Now.